Welcome to Follow the Sound. I am your host, Brian Kroc. Each and every week, we explore different aspects of the world of music, including this week in music history and concert reviews and so on and so forth. But we also love to do the one thing that we started out doing in the very first episode of this show, album reviews, where we take an entire album and we play it and we talk about it and we review it and we score it. And that's what we do. Once again, I am, of course, your host, Brian Kroc, and along with me is Greg Harvey.
That's me.
And Jacob Grum.
And the Vibraslaps got them teeth inside that wooden box.
So before I get to the actual before I get to the actual album review here, I just want to say, if you want to help us out, go to followthesoundpodcast.com and click on the Amazon banner on the right-hand side. It'll take you to Amazon. Do all of your normal shopping that you can do on Amazon, which is everything. And we get a little bit of money back from everything that you purchase. It's just that simple. It won't cost you anything extra. It's very, very simple. So go to the website, click on the banner, or go to followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon. And for those of you who are actually buying stuff right now on Amazon, thanks, guys. You are making me really proud, to know that you guys are just out there purchasing stuff through our site on Amazon. Good on you. Also want to thank lineupmedia.fm for allowing us to put the show on. You can go to lineupmedia.fm and find plenty of great programming on several podcasts. Just go on there and pick something that you might enjoy. Of course, I like listening to some of the random shows that pop up, Armenian Nights, which is a group of hilarious Armenians out in California who do an improv group and stuff and like have a great little sort of mini radio program that they put on. Good stuff if you want to crack up. You don't even have to be Armenian to enjoy it. It's just that they happen to be Armenian and they love doing these programs. So yes, lineupmedia.fm, go there. You will not regret it. So on to the album review. I don't know what we're doing. But you know who does? Greg Harvey.
Yes, that's me, and I got to pick the album tonight. So, I picked an old one, but a good one. They were formed in 1991 in Sacramento, California. This is their fourth studio album. The band is Cake.
Hey!
Hey!
Yes, once again, if you're going to search for Cake...
Hey!
You're going to have to search for Cake Band instead of just searching for Cake, because then you will get pictures of the glorious dessert that everyone loves to eat all the time, all over the place. Surprisingly, I'm actually not a big cake fan.
You know, both Cake...
I like pies. I love pies. I'm not ashamed to admit that.
Here's a fun fact, though. Cakes are delicious, and the band Cake has some tasty riffs.
That is true.
Hey-o! Pew! So anyways, the one we're going to review today is their fourth studio album. Of course, their first one that came out was called Motorcade of Generosity. Then they had Fashion Nugget in 1996 with the lead single, The Distance. That might be the one that most people that aren't familiar with Cake would know.
She's going the distance.
Yep. Going for speed. Third album, Prolonging the Magic. And their fourth album brings us to 2001's Comfort Eagle by Cake. It was released July 24th, recorded at Paradise Studios in Sacramento, California, with additional recording at Hyde Street Studios in San Francisco, California. The album as a whole runs 36 minutes and 55 seconds and has 11 tracks on it.
That's not long.
It's not long, but I would say every song on here is a cut for me. Jake and I were singing just about every single word to this song when we were listening to it earlier. So guys, are you ready for the magic of Cake?
Yeah, let's kick it.
All right, track one off of Comfort Eagle is called Opera Singer.
We'll be right back. singer. I stand on painted tape. It tells me where I'm going and where to throw my cape. I call my co-star's brother. I call my co-star's name. I play both good and evil parts. I sing to Verdi's grave. And every single morning by 10 a.m. I'm dressed. My rehearsals last for hours and hours. With diligence I have been blessed. Some people, they call me
opera singer. That's,
you know,
Cake.
I'm not used to actually hearing him sing.
Yeah, well, that's very true.
I'm used to hearing him like talking, you know, so it's kind of funny to hear him actually sing something.
Hey. Yeah. Cake, boy, most of their songs, they're really good at just like building songs. You know, it's always kind of like letting the beat build on these guys. This first one here, it's interesting because they actually are using that drum machine as opposed to their actual drummer in the band. It's a little rare, but it's kind of a fun way to start off the album, in my opinion. Wow.
I liked it. That was good.
Yeah.
That was a nice, pleasant song.
I'd like to hear a trap remix.
That would be sweet. That would actually be pretty cool. I feel like you could remix a lot of Cake songs and they'd be good, especially with like some hip-hop stuff. Be sweet. So, Cake, boy, I mean, where do you start? It's like every member of the band is a feature, but they put them all together. So the bass player, in my opinion, is like the star of the band, Cake, because those bass riffs are just awesome. I mean, some of them are subtle, but the bass is always very prominent and really drives the groove, drives the beat. And then the guitar just kind of noodles a lot. I mean, it's always like these little catchy hooks and riffs that he does. And it's, you know, it's not always the melody, but it's just kind of, I mean, it is. It's a hook. It draws me in. So I'm a fan of that one. Plus, too, why is he singing about an opera singer? I mean, it's just like this kind of like fantasy world that the band lives in that they just decide, what are we going to be today? Well, today I'm an opera singer. So.
I like him. That was good.
Okay.
Jake, do you have anything to add?
You cannot question the lyrics. There's no point in doing it to any Cake song. I mean, what's the one that's all about cooking? Well, the hook's about cooking dinner. She's got a leather jacket, Italian leather sofa.
Yeah, Italian leather sofa.
I mean,
sofa.
If you look at the lyrics of that song, it doesn't make any sense about anything.
Yeah.
But the song's still good.
It is good. Well, it's weird because it's like the song is about the Italian leather sofa, but it's not. It's about like everything else that's going on around the sofa.
Yes, yeah.
And what happens on the sofa? Hey-o. All right. Well, track two, as we move on from Cake, is called Meanwhile, Rick James... ..
In a fever at the Castle Rock. Dust devil.
Again, that chugging bass line, man. I love that.
I think you like it just because it sounds a lot like Sublime's bass.
Well, I mean, Cake takes a lot of influences. I mean, they've got that funk style. It's so laid back. I don't really know what kind of label you'd put on it. I mean, technically, it's alternative rock, which is just a broad category that you could put a lot of different bands under. But, I mean, they have a trumpet player. Those keyboards, I mean, in this song, too, the keyboards were really dominant with the melody there towards the beginning. But, gosh, I don't know. I mean, no matter how many times we say it, I'm going back to that chugging bass line.
You know what? And I think I just realized this. Cake sounds like what you would think a computer would write music for. So you know they've got those algorithms where you feed them like samples of writing and it writes a book for you, right? Yeah. So if you give it like all, if you give it nothing but coming of age stories and sci-fi, you'll have like an alien that grows up.
Isn't this like Harry Potter and the portrait of what looks like a pile of ash?
yeah. Cake is like what happens when you just play an alt-rock station into an algorithm. And you're like, oh, okay, people like trumpets on the hook and just high notes on hooks.
Yeah.
Am I making any sense here?
Yeah, no, I get it, because especially with those keyboards in there, those little tones that it adds over it, that totally sounds like something a computer would come up with, like, you know, simple stuff that it would just plug in and be like, this fits with the song.
Like, yes, if you just put in a bunch of Kanye West, a whole bunch of early funk, and then just that like 24-hour loop of the best saxophone solo ever video on YouTube.
Yeah.
And you get a Cake song.
Wow. Well, honestly, I don't think you're wrong. That's I don't know, the frightening
but
part.
But it ends up being good is the weird is insanity good. Of the band.
We talked in a previous episode how like they're really good. I mean, because the songs are simple. Some of them are not too complicated, but they always get you with that hook. They always establish that hook one way or another. So this next song, for me personally, I used to have one of those alarm clocks so you could put a CD in it, and so you could actually wake up to like a certain track on the album. Mm-hmm. And this next song was my alarm clock for years and years and years. And I think it's because it also kind of builds the song up gradually. I tried to find a song that didn't like scare the hell out of me and like make me jump out of bed. And so Shadow Stabbing, track 3 off of Comfort Eagle, was just what this young boy needed.
Adjectives on the typewriter, he moves his words like a prize fighter. The frenzied pace of the mind inside the cell. The man on the street might just as well be. The man on the street might just as well. The man on the street might just as well be. Tight jaw, say it all, but the white paint, plastic saints, say it all, 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 say somebody got to say it all. Say it all.
I'm so nervous. I'm so tense. Oh, man.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
I've heard that one before, so. Yeah,
I love it.
I've always liked that song.
So one thing that you may have picked up on, Brian.
Yes.
Is their use of percussion, too. Just subtle stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it's not overbearing ever.
You know, every once in a while you hear like a clave, just a little tink. And like they had the it's not the gyro, but what is what's the deal? You hold the handle and it's got the like metallic beads that go around it, and so you slide them.
Ooh.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. It's another Latin percussion thing.
It's
Hold on, I'll search for it, you guys.
It's a cylindrical washboard.
Kind of, yeah. That is kind of what it is. Yeah. But it's doing the ch-ch-ch-ch noise. Boy, I was a percussionist. I used to know all the names of those instruments. But nonetheless, just the subtle use of it is what really gets me in all of these different songs. Because
cabasa.
Cabasa.
That's what it's called. It's called a cabasa.
Cabasa. That's right. The cabasa. And, yeah. I mean, they just sprinkle it in. My favorite, too, is it the vibra slap?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one that goes...
Yeah.
Yeah. You hear those in these songs a lot, too. So
that's what I was alluding to on the cold intro.
The vibra slap?
Yeah.
Hey! a lot of group shouts and hey's and this and that, which this next song I think really established for the band Cake their background hey's and vocals and all those different crazy things. This is probably the biggest single off of the album. You may have heard of this one. It's called Short Skirt, Long Jacket. Yes. Wait. Uninterrupted. Yeah, so here's those hays. Anyways. So probably.
You might also recognize that as the intro song to the TV show. Chuck. That's what it was called. Chuck.
Hey, yeah, there you go. Certainly one of their more popular ones, and definitely showcasing all that percussion that we were talking about.
Also, I honestly think that it has one of the best music videos ever created.
I was just going to say that.
Do you know why? Jake, have you seen the music video to this? For those of you who haven't seen it, it's literally just the reaction of people out on the beach in California listening to this track.
Mm-hmm.
And just their honest reactions to the song.
I like, too, that
cracked
most,
me up so
most
much.
Of the reactions are kind of like, like, you know, of course, this is the final studio version and people are hearing it like, maybe you should tweak it this way and this way. And it's like, no, this is the song. So
I just like the fact that some of the people, though, were just like, oh, yeah.
Oh, and the part, too, where it just pauses and it's silent for a second. And the guy's like, what? Is that it? Is it up? Oh, nope. And the drums come back and like, oh, never mind. So,
the thing I think is interesting about this album is that, you know, on the previous song, they kind of sold out. I'm not going to say sold out, but they went all in on salsa because the drum is basically doing a salsa beat.
Mm-hmm.
You know. In here, this is more of a classic rock beat, but still has all the salsa on top of it.
Yeah.
And it works. Like, why not? Like, if Santana could do it.
Yeah. I don't want to be too redundant, but I'll just say that bass line. I mean, that's the hook to this song.
Well, I mean, the guitar doubles it, so.
Yeah.
It's not just the bass just doing its own thing.
You know.
I mean, it is a well-crafted song. That's what I can say it is. That's why it was a hit, because it's a well-crafted song. It's got a great musical hook to it. Has a great vocal hook. I mean, even, look at this. I haven't heard this song in years. And yet, you know, it's like, I want a girl who gets up early. It's like,
gets
immediately, it's like,
early.
We know exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whenever he gets to the actual, like, you know, title of the song, it's like a short skirt and a long jacket. I mean, that's, everybody knows this. Everybody knows the song.
Yeah.
And so that's why, like, I mean, it's just a well-crafted song.
Well, and it's crazy because it's minimal. It's like minimalistic.
Well, I mean, a lot of Cake's music is that way.
But yet it's not, because they've layered on so much of that over it. I mean, even like the group vocals and stuff. So, boy, I love it. Well, this next song is another cut, and kind of takes us in a different direction and off into that kind of Cake fantasy world that they do sometimes. They kind of, it's almost like they have kind of a Renaissance feel to them. And this one is about that Austrian nobleman who commissions a symphony in C.
So you'll be an Austrian nobleman commissioning a symphony in C, which defies all earthly descriptions. You'll be commissioning a symphony in C. With money you squeezed from the peasants, to your nephew you can give it as a present. This magnificent symphony in C. You'll be commissioning a symphony in C. Filling the palace concert hall, it's warm and golden like an oven that's wide open. It has a melody both happy and sad, built on victorious young triads. You enter the room with great caution, though no one in the hall is even watching. They are transfixed, they are forgetting just to breathe. They are so taken by your symphony.
I want to know where they come up with these lyrics.
It all honestly sounds like he's just sort of like likes to write stuff down, like that just happens to rhyme. Like he's good at coming up with weird limericks and stuff, just to be like, eh, you know, this, yeah, this sounds pretty good. Let's put this together.
Yeah.
It's like the lyrics don't have to make sense, so why not just?
Yeah, but like at the same time, I mean, this like this song, it stays coherent. You know, because, but I'm just curious. It's like, you know, an Austrian nobleman commissioning a symphony in C. Like they are transfixed. They are forgetting to breathe. You know, I can see them bringing some of those things in where it was like, oh, this sounds good. We could fit this in somewhere. But at the same time, like this song has a concept. Where the heck did that concept come from?
You know, I think you're going to touch on a point I kind of wanted to make it sometime during this review.
All right.
And that's I think that Cake, as a band, is the first. Yeah. I'm going to say they're the trendsetters for hipsters.
Yeah.
Like in pop music, a lot of people are going to go, oh no, like Outkast Heya video where he's wearing that Argyle sweater was but I mean, like Cake, they've dressed like hipsters since like 91.
Yeah.
Like that guy's been wearing Argyle jackets on top of like a single colored t-shirt that's got a kitten and an American flag on it and a trucker hat for 20 years. And I guarantee you that the inspiration for this song was he remembered a really good lecture from one of his music professors in school.
I could see that. Yeah.
You know, he's telling a story about this Austrian nobleman that was so passionate about music that he was talking faster than he could breathe as he was relaying the events to his peers of this. Yeah, I found this young artist who's going to write a symphony for me.
Wow. Like, yeah, I can definitely kind of get that that idea from it too. Like, oh, you know, just taking, you know, like something interesting and unusual that I heard today, and I wrote it down and turned it into a song. But, gosh, I don't know how you guys feel about this because I'm kind of biased. But I mean, I think so far every song, even just the first, you know, minute and a half or so that we've heard, it kind of draws you in for every track.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Good.
For me, this is one of those bands and one of these albums where you can just put it on and just listen to it. You know, it's not like you're not necessarily trying to get in a particular mood or any of that kind of thing. It's like, it's, you know, you're just like, I just want to listen to something that's, you know, got a good rhythm to it. And
it transcends both the ability to just put it on in the background, like you're saying, Brian. But yet, like, if you really want to actively listen, there's more that you can discover and enjoy about it as well. But, I mean, you know, the one song I just had is an alarm clock because it was a nice way to wake up, and I didn't think too much into it. So this next song is a short one. It's only a minute and a half long, entirely instrumental, but unusual. The first time I heard this, I think I fell in love with it almost immediately. It's called Arco Arena, instrumental, and it's track 6 on Cake's Comfort Eagle. So it's instrumental, but you still have the ha, yeah.
I kept trying to figure out what that instrument was that he was playing, because obviously it wasn't a guitar.
It feels like it's a mandolin, but I sometimes just feel like it's just a guitar with an effect on it of some sort.
I think it's a particular instrument. It's usually played in like parts of the Iberian Peninsula down through Africa and the Middle East. But I don't remember what it's actually called though.
I would like to mention that since the name of the song is Arco Arena, that's actually the old name of the big arena in their hometown of Sacramento, California. So now it's called Sleep Train Arena, but it was originally Arco Arena. So there you go. And I think
Are you talking about like a lute?
Yeah, it might
be a lute. Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't sound like some kind of dulcimer to me.
I'm gonna throw that out.
It's possible that it's some kind of like Iranian harp I've never heard of, or like a tar. I'm not entirely sure that it's a lute because I think lutes are tuned in thirds. I'm probably wrong about that. And the structure. Either way, it's some kind of folk music that's been funkified.
You know, and it's weird.
I'm watching a video of them actually playing Arco Arena.
Okay.
And on stage, it is an acoustic guitar that is capoed up really far. And it looks like a miniature guitar.
Hmm.
Like, you know, it almost looks like it's half the size of a normal guitar. Either that or that dude's giant.
It's probably a small guitar then.
Yeah, it looks like a small guitar that's capoed up. It's a Martin, I can tell you that much. I can recognize the logo.
You're sure it's six-stringed and it's not like a baritone uke?
I don't think it's a baritone uke.
It doesn't sound like a baritone uke to me, but...
No, because, I mean, I know you can't really see this all that well, but, like, he's there, and it's clearly an acoustic guitar.
Well, I think we've established with this little conversation here that it's very unique, and I think that's what the appeal of it is while that beat is going, and it's just a straightforward kind of drum beat, but the actual melody that he's playing is just one of the catchiest hooks I've ever heard, and I'm a big fan of that one. Also, something I really liked was that Jay-Z teamed up with Lenny Kravitz, and they actually added lyrics to this song by turning it into a hip-hop song called Guns N' Roses, and it's just Arco Arena that was remixed with some vocals on it. And it's a pretty killer song as well. So if you get a chance, check it out. Although, I'll tell you right now, you can't find it online. So you would probably have to pick up a copy of Jay-Z's The Blueprint 2 in order to hear what I'm talking about. But nonetheless.
Yep.
Okay, so great instrumental. The next song on here is actually the title track to our album. And we just did a recent episode of What Are We Listening To? That I chose this song as one of the songs I was listening to in preparation of our album review. So here it is, the title track, Comfort Eagle.
We are building a religion. We are building it bigger. We are widening the corridors and adding more lanes. We are building a religion, a limited edition. We are now accepting callers for these pendant keychains. You resist it is useless. It is useless to resist it. His cigarette is burning, but he never seems to ash. He is grooming his poodle. He is living Comfort Eagle. You can meet at his location, but you'd better come with cash. Now his hat is on backwards. He can show you his tattoos. He is in the music business. He is calling you dude. Now today is tomorrow, and tomorrow today, and yesterday is weaving in and out. And the fluffy white lines that the airplane leaves behind are drifting right in front of the waning of the moon. He is handling the money. He's serving the food. He knows about your party. He is calling you dude. Yeah, do you believe in the one big sign? The double white shine on the boot heels of your prime. Doesn't matter if you're skinny, doesn't matter if you're fat. You can dress up like the Sultan in your onion head hat. We are building a religion. We're making a brand.
We are now accepting callers for these beautiful pendant keychains. Comfort Eagle. One of the things I think, that's the thing, is they throw in all these instruments. It's so hard to tell, but I think what I'm hearing on that song that I really like is a hammered dulcimer.
Yeah.
I think that's what's doing those really staccato do, 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 do. But when I hear those, man, that's when I get hooked on this song.
So I was looking up Cake, their Wikipedia page, and I enjoyed the fact that it says people enjoy their wide-ranging musical influences, including country, mariachi, rock, funk, Iranian folk music, and hip-hop.
Yeah.
That is, and if you look at those influences, yep, that fits.
Yeah, I think those fit into this song really well, because I can hear, like, the Iranian folk music in this song, in a sense. It kind of has that feel to it. And, from their album Fashion Nugget, they have Stick Shifts and Safety Belts,
yeah,
which is like a super country song, like do. They're just all over the board, man.
Yeah, I really like when people bring in different modal systems of folk music into things, because there's really like four big modal systems in what is not Western folk music. You know, you got, like, in the Balkans is kind of its own thing. You've got the Persian modal systems, which is what we're going with here. And then, like, there's Chinese and Then there's like the African polyrhythms. And all of them completely change the tone of a song this, as soon as you inject something like that into a Western 4/4, three chords rock progression. And I love what they do with it. Yeah. There you go. That's all. That's, I mean, I'm just going to.
Well, and it's something different for the mainstream rock scene.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think I've ever heard a band that was so rocking with drive, because most of these songs are very straightforward driving beats, but yet it's the different elements that they bring into it that just kind of takes it off on its own path, and it's so unique.
Oh, that's where I was going with this. So Robert Fripp from King Crimson, who we did a review for last week, he uses a lot of Balkan folk music overtones in the later King Crimson stuff that I think is really interesting. And all of my favorite, like, Parliament Funkadelic albums all have weird African rhythms in them. I don't know why. It's always the strangest piece of music or the weirdest, most conceptual album that any band does. It usually tends to be my favorite.
Yeah. Well, so you're a fan of Cake?
Well, yeah.
Just as a band?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, them as a band is like that album from the rock genre that it's like, okay, this is kind of the farther out lying one.
Yeah, we talked about doing a Cake album, what, like 4 months ago?
Probably, right? Yeah.
Like off mic, and you just kept like naming songs, and you didn't name a song I didn't know the lyrics to.
Yeah.
Like you started them off, and I was like, oh, this goes with that, and then I would carry it through. And then that would be 30 seconds, and then you'd name another Cake song. Oh, what about this one off of this album?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and all that all started out because you're like, what's your favorite Cake song, Jake? And I'm like, the one about his got a car that has Satan for an engine, maybe? I don't know.
Well, speaking of cars, this next song is about cars. Did you know that? It's called Long Line of Cars. Just trying to get through.
Cars and they're trying to get through. There's no single explanation, there's no central destination. But this long line of cars is trying to get through. And this long line of cars is all because of you. Don't wonder where we're going or remember where we've been. We've got to keep this traffic flowing and accept a little sin. So this long line of cars will never have an end. And this long line of cars keeps coming around the bend.
I swear, anytime I ever get stuck in traffic, this song comes in my head. I'm always thinking about, well, because that concept of there's a long line of cars and they're trying to get through. And it's just, I don't know if they meant this to be that deep or not as a song, but just the fact that, like, when you're stuck in traffic, and especially California, you know, Southern California is notorious for their traffic. Granted, these guys aren't from there, but they, you know, are regulars in Los Angeles. And just that thought that it's like so many different people going so many different places, but we're all coming together to create a traffic jam. And I know that sounds kind of deep, but yet also kind of stupid. But just the fact that it's like, everybody's going somewhere to do a different thing for a different reason, but we're all in this stupid traffic together. And, yeah, it just makes me think of that every time.
Yeah. It makes me, anytime anyone talks about traffic, it makes me think of people who live in more rural communities and don't understand what traffic really is.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've driven in Los Angeles when you have 8 lanes in each direction. And people from Iowa will be like, I don't know how you deal with the traffic in St. Louis. I'm like, traffic in St. I wait 15 minutes and then I go where I want to go.
Yeah.
Like, it takes me. Like in LA, it's ridiculous. It'll take you an hour to move a mile, and that's rush hour every day.
That would be so scary. I'd be afraid of running out of gas.
And even then, okay, so I had to look it up. The longest traffic jam in recorded history, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beijing, China. Okay. No surprise there.
Yeah.
Come on. How long do you think in miles?
In China?
Yeah. How far the jam went?
Okay,
yes. Distance?
There's a distance of the traffic that was jammed up, and then there's a period of time that it took to clear.
See, yeah, we're all from the Midwest, yes. So, like, we measure things in time,
right? Okay,
not
yeah.
distance.
Okay, well, I'll just say distance. It was a 62-mile-long traffic
yep.
jam.
Jeez.
Right. How long do you think that would take before you have what would be considered a flow of traffic?
61 miles.
62 miles.
62 miles. Let's see. That's from Decatur to Springfield and back.
And back.
And it takes about 35 minutes to get to Decatur with no traffic. So I'm going to say it probably took... Oh, my God.
It was like 8 days, wasn't it?
Like 12 hours?
You are off by an order of magnitude. It was 12 days.
Okay.
What?
So 12 days?
12 days. There were people stuck in traffic for 12 days. They had emergency facilities.
You would die.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to get water to people. Like,
so
yeah.
Here's the even funnier thing. Everyone was reporting about this on the news and stuff, and then it just vanished. The traffic jam just ended, and nobody... really knows what happened. Just apparently somehow they all got off and it was done. I mean, like, it cleared, like, when they got it figured out, it cleared real quick.
They just brought out the steamrollers and just flattened everybody
Dude.
In.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're talking
China, we paved over cars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're just starting fresh.
We've veered off here.
Well, for sure.
Traffic. See, here's the thing for me with, like, and I've said it before with this album, is that I can put this on and just listen to it and not truly pay attention to it.
Yeah.
You know, which I know may sound like a bad thing, but actually that's a really good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one of these albums that...
You're starting to sound like a TV executive.
Yes. But it's also, I mean, I listen to a bunch of different stuff, obviously. One of my favorite albums to put on while I'm just sitting there, like, not paying attention to the music, but it's just something playing in the background, is Anna Monoguchi's Endless Fantasy. It's chiptune techno stuff. No lyrics, really. It's like there's some words and stuff, but for the most part, it's that. This is one of these albums, though, that even there are lyrics in it, I don't have to pay attention to them because the delivery is, like, so straightforward in monotone that it, you know, it kind of, it's its own rhythmic thing inside the song. And that combined with the very riff oriented songs and the very straightforward percussion and stuff, like, that's why I like this album.
Mm-hmm. And this song starts with, like, that synthesizer.
Yeah.
With kind of the weird thing that they're doing. I mean, it's like, it's just, Cake is weird. They're a weird band. Can I say that? They're just weird. All right. Well, this next song is probably, I would say, the second best song on the album, right after Short Skirt, Long Jacket. Sing along if you know the words. It's called Love You Madly. Love You Madly. I like that song. That's one of my favorites. I just like the staccato drums at the beginning. But one of my favorite things, it's so subtle, but I love the hi-hat in that song. And the way it starts, that... Yes.
I get it. I dig it.
Another catchy bass line. Another noodly guitar riff. Another sing-song kind of... saying words that are somehow being sung, kind of. A little bit of trumpet in there. And a vibra slap. And a few group vocals. I mean, it's pretty par for the course.
Second verse, same as the first.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, man. It's like we could just play every song and just be like, yep, there's another Cake song. Here's the next one. So,
the next song, though, never has made an impression on me. And I'm going to say it's one of three Cake songs I don't know the words to.
This next song? You don't?
Pretty Pink Ribbon?
You're not a big fan?
Right now, I don't know it. And I looked up Motorcade of Generosity. Ruby Sees All and Ain't No Good are the other two that I can't. I don't think I know those ones.
Well, I like this next one myself. I remember there was one point in college that this song was stuck in my head for like at least 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I don't know why, but nonetheless, the part where he says, the pretty pink ribbon.
Without the pretty pink ribbon, you'd end up just like me. Without the pretty pink ribbon, you'd float down to the sea. Without the pretty pink ribbon, you'd say just what you pleased. Without the sticky little kitten, your ticket could never be free. Without the tight little denim, your virtues would all go unknown. Without the room that you live in, your cancer would eat to the bone. Your muscles would bulge underground. Your demons would all be around. Without the pretty pink ribbon, you'd end up just like me.
Pink Ribbon. I don't know what the specific meaning is behind this song, but I always got the impression that it was implying that the pretty pink ribbon is the breast cancer ribbon, and that he's implying that if it wasn't for the pretty pink ribbon, you would be just like every other cancer patient, and that the pretty pink ribbon kind of helps, you know, fund research for breast cancer and stuff. But if it wasn't for the pretty pink ribbon, you'd end up just like me. I don't know if it's that dark and deep, because I wouldn't put it past Cake to write something that dark and yet put a pretty pink ribbon on it, if you will, metaphorically. But yeah, everything else pretty par for the course once again. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think it's really that dark? I mean, he's talking about your cancer would eat to the bone without the pretty pink ribbon. You know, I mean, it is. It's just really dark.
It does sound dark, considering, you know, what a lot of the other topics seem to be for this album.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely seems more in the darker side of lyrics. So,
but yet they put like that sparkle on the song itself to kind of
Throw
you off a little bit.
Totally so. Do that.
Well... we only have one song to go. Do we just want to do it?
Yeah, let's just go for it.
Okay. Well, here's the final track. Track 11. It's called World of Two.
Here you
So there you have it.
That was a pleasant change.
Yeah. Once again, a lot of the various percussion elements. This time we got to hear a little bit of sleigh bell even in there. Still had the trumpet. What was it? Was that like a kind of like a Spanish guitar? Maybe like an acoustic guitar with nylon strings deal?
I think that's what it was.
Yeah. Sounded very cool. But yeah, so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Cake bringing every single possible. I mean, these are like guys that were let loose in like the band room after hours, and they just start like playing with all the different instruments and stuff.
Yeah.
And they just put it together and make it work so, so well. I'm a fan.
Yep.
So agreed. 100% less slide whistle on this album than on previous albums.
That is true. Very true. Yeah. Bring back the slide whistle. That's all we're saying.
I mean, I'm just saying. I noticed it.
Anything you could buy in a novelty shop should be on this album.
One of those little bird call whistles.
Yeah, the little...
Yeah.
As well.
Oh, man. I remember those things. Jeez.
Oh. So, there
we
go.
Bring that back.
Album as a whole, I would say that it's pretty consistent. Not a lot of songs really veer off the path as much as other Cake albums do. Like I mentioned before, Stick Shifts and Safety Belts on Fashion Nugget is kind of like a far left turn from like the other songs on the album. This one, I mean, Arco Arena, the instrumental one, it was kind of different.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most different, in my opinion. But overall, it's a solid album from start to finish. And it ends kind of on a sweet note. Even though World of Two is kind of about, I don't want to live in your world of two because it's just you. And so, you know, his partner is selfish and, you know, he's kind of leaving a relationship in that sense. But even then, once again, Cake turns melancholy lyrics into a bright, shimmering song.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also think there's a little bit of the sentiment, like, we all know the couples where they don't have independent hobbies,
mm-hmm.
and they're a pair everywhere they go.
Yeah. And I don't want to live in that world.
Yeah, that world where you ask your buddy to help you move and...
You mean like my life?
No, I'm just saying, like in the past, I've done that, you know, like, hey, can you help me move this? And then like all of a sudden, like, oh, I didn't realize we needed a third person for this who's not going to be helpful. And
that's like when you make plans to like go watch the game at the bar. And mm-hmm. then you were like, oh, hey, you brought company.
Yeah. No, not worse than that. It's like, I didn't realize this was that you were going to bring your partner with you and that they were going to be the old guys at the Muppet Show that just shouted insults at us while we did work. I didn't know that's what I was getting myself into. But thank you for that. I appreciate the help.
Okay, well, I'd say as far as ratings go, even though I really like this album, it's not like it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's just good. So I would have to give it a solid 5 because it's very listenable. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but it's something different that kind of cuts through the clutter. You know, if you're putting your playlist on shuffle and a Cake song comes on, it's something different. You might give it a listen because you haven't heard it in a while. So, solid 5 for me.
I was a little worried that you were going to be like, this is a 10 for me. And then I was going to, because in my mind, I'm thinking, like, you know what? It's a 5. It's a 5 for me. And I was thinking that well before you said anything. So, yeah, it's something that I can listen to. It's like I said, I can put it on and I can listen to it and, you know, I won't, like, I'm not in a particular mood or anything. It's like, just put it on in the background and listen to it. But it's not one of those albums that I'm going to instantly think of and be like, oh yeah, I need to listen to that album because that album's awesome.
Well, That is the one difference between you and I, is because this is an album that I would seek out to listen to, like if I was in the mood for it.
Yes.
But besides that, I think we see eye to eye on this one.
I mean, like, I was just saying that it's a well-executed album. It is technically extremely good. Like, obviously, they're all proficient musicians. He's a talented songwriter. Like, everything is there for a great album. But to me, it doesn't, I don't click with it at all. And so it's like, that's why it's like, okay, all right, solid five.
Cool.
It's not that I will fully respect anybody if they gave it a much higher rating out there. You know, if there's like super fans that are just like, that's the greatest album of all time. It's like, cool. That's totally your deal. That's your opinion.
See,
got it. Love it. But it's like, for me, no.
Yeah. If we were
not a bad album,
if we were talking about like musicianship, I would rate him much higher. But this album, I think we nailed it. Jake?
Yeah. I mean, I think that technical abilities and how they play their instruments, this is kind of on par with what you should be doing in a studio. This is not like a Jaco Pastorius coming in who's reinventing an instrument, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their trumpeter is an adequate trumpeter, right? He's not a barn burner. He's not blasting down the doors and making people rethink how trumpet fits into a band.
And they never really give him the opportunity to be a barn burner either.
But that's fine.
He plays his part.
I think that every Cake album is interchangeable with any other. Like, if I want to listen to Cake, I just grab an album at random, and it fits that.
You could put all of Cake's music on shuffle,
yes,
and you wouldn't be able to really say what album it was from unless you actually knew.
Right, unless I had listened to every album several dozen times through, which I have.
But, you know, there's no album that's really different from the rest.
Right. So, you know, if we're saying that, so if I'm approaching rating this album, putting a number on it, and saying it's in the middle of the pack, I'm going to give it a bump because they still surprise me with throwing in the different folk music modals and interesting melodies. But the lyrics are so esoteric, and even though I can memorize them, which is something I can't say for other lyricists like Sun Ra, even though I can put them in my brain and keep them, I don't have like an emotional connection with almost any of these songs other than it's really cool, chill music. So I'm going to give it a six.
Ooh, a six.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a six.
Okay. Well, that's pretty solid. All right. Well, that concludes our review of Cake's Comfort Eagle, released in 2001 by Columbia Records. And stay tuned for the next one, I suppose.
All right, I'll take it back over then, Greg. So, folks, this, of course, has been an album review brought to you by Follow the Sound. Remember, if you want to help us out, go to our website, followthesoundpodcast.com, and click on that Amazon banner, or go to followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon. Takes you to the exact same place. Also want to thank lineupmedia.fm. Go there, check out all the great programming. You will not be disappointed. And I have kind of been your host. It's mainly been Greg tonight, Brian Kroc. And of course, along with us was Jacob Crum.
I've got brakes. I'm wide awake. I can turn this car at any time.
And actually hosting the show tonight was Greg Harvey.
Now accepting callers for these beautiful pendant keychains.
And remember, folks, if you hear it, follow the sound.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.